How would you describe our gospel parable about the master who's left entrusted his household, everything, to his servants, and then the servant starts beating up on the other servants, and it's like there's total chaos? Well, maybe one could say the cat's away, the mice will play, or maybe the inmates have taken over the asylum. Well, when you look at that, maybe that's how we could describe our country. Think. Last weekend, we had those horrible shootings in Dallas, or in La Plata, good heavens, El Paso, and Dayton. And one shouldn't forget that that same weekend, there were 40 shootings in Chicago, which resulted in 7 murders. One can start thinking of blaming, and we've seen that on the news. One can think of all kinds of different solutions. We've seen that on the news. One can see taking political advantage of a situation. We see that on the news. But if we want to get down to the reality is, we've forgotten God. I've had people ask me, how could God have allowed this to happen? Well, God gave us a free will. But he also gave us the commandments. He's revealed his truth. We ought to know better. So let's not blame God. And if we look at our society, when so many people no longer go to church, no longer pray, let's not blame God for not interfering in any of this. We've done it to ourselves. But that's not the way our country was founded. If we go back to the foundation of our country, our founding fathers did believe in God. Now, they may have come from different backgrounds, religiously speaking, but they believed in God. They knew the Ten Commandments. They knew those two basic commandments, love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, love your neighbor as yourself. They knew the golden rule, that do unto others as you want done to yourself. All good things, even if a person's not a believer. Those are good rules of life. When it came time for the Declaration of Independence, we have Thomas Jefferson writing, God is the giver of all these laws. He said, these laws are based on God's truth. He wrote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They weren't rebelling because of a whim. They were rebelling because they knew God's law, God's truth, had been violated. When it came time for the Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin also addressed the delegates and admonished them for forgetting to pray. He said, if we forget our friend, God, who had delivered us through that war of revolution, then we will build nothing better than a Tower of Babel. James Madison, who wrote the Constitution, or is considered the father, said this, we have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. When they founded this country, they looked upon it, as did Abraham in the Old Testament, like a new city. And God is the creator. God is the architect. And we have to be the good and prudent stewards. Granted, we know our country has been through different times of turmoil, thinking of the Civil War, slavery, then there was the segregation time, civil rights. But the one thing that kept us on the right path was that we knew there was a God. There were those Ten Commandments, the two great commandments, the golden rule, and that's what kept us together. But then, what happened? Go back 50 years. So 1969, during this time period, we had the Woodstock celebration. And it was free love. And it was drugs and sex and protest anti-authority. But that really is stemming from something else, because earlier in the decade, the Supreme Court decided we should not be praying in our public schools anymore. We shouldn't have the Ten Commandments in our public schools anymore. And we started eliminating God from our society. Whose rules do we follow then? And whose rules govern the civil rules, the civil laws of our country? Take it to 1973. The Supreme Court ruled that the unborn child is no longer a person, and that unborn child's life can be taken at any moment up to birth. Imagine that the unborn child is not a person. It defies even our common sense. When we look around our parish and we see a mother who's expecting, don't we say, "When is your baby due?" We know that. And yet, we gave the choice to kill. And since 1973, 60 million, at least, have been killed because of abortion. And never forget Planned Parenthood, that evil organization founded by Margaret Sanger, one of the great proponents of eugenics, who wanted to eliminate all those with disabilities, including African Americans, who was honored by Adolf Hitler, was the foundress of that organization. And Planned Parenthood operates on profit, with 98% of their income coming from abortion. And they make money, and they're receiving our tax dollars. They're responsible for half of those abortions. Last year, according to statistics, they performed over 360,000 abortions. That means 911 unborn babies were killed by Planned Parenthood alone. Now, that is a shocking statistic. More, really, than what happened, sadly, in El Paso, what happened in Dayton. And yet, we turn a blind eye. And Bill de Blasio says, that's a sacred right. And President Obama said, God bless Planned Parenthood. Where's God in all of this? God is watching. But take that whole mentality further, this idea of violence, that I can choose the life or death of someone else. Look at our movies. Don't we see all the guns and the violent killing? And ironically, so many of those Hollywood actors are saying, get rid of guns. Well, you ought to get all that violence out of their movies. In September, Universal Studios is going to release a movie called The Hunt. And The Hunt is about these privileged, very wealthy, identified as liberals, who come to this resort island, 5-star resort, and they hunt those who are the political deplorables. Now, that's how it's advertised. But think of the mentality that that's conveying, that if you disagree with me politically, I'll hunt you down. Now, that's a movie, but look at society, because there are those now that if they disagree with you, they put it all over Facebook or other social media, and they say protest. Recently on MSNBC, someone said they should be protesting at this house. This man's having a fundraiser for the president, so be it, but they should protest at that house, and he said, with torches and pitchforks. We have the Antifa people in our country and so on. Who's governing society? It's about me taking control. But parents, be on guard with your children too. 20 years ago, 1999, there was the Columbine shooting. I remember having to preach about that at my other parish. One of the symptoms that was identified at that time was the effect of violent video games. One of those, this at that time, was called Grand Theft Auto. Well, Fortnite is worse. And they're saying, Wall Street Journal reported, kids will spend 6 hours a day playing that game. They can become addicted. And they become isolated. And when you're isolated, you're no longer involved in reality. You're dealing with the unreal. So eventually that unreal is overflowing into the real. And that's why Don't we have the shootings? Don't we have the chaos that we see? We have forgotten. And we could even go to language. Look how we talk in this country anymore. The F-bomb, so frequently used, comes from an old German word meaning to strike. Add the sexual connotation to it, and it's a violence against women. And yet I've heard mothers use that with their children at the Giant store. And our politicians use that. And our politicians now take our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name in vain as an expletive. We do violence against each other verbally. We do it against God. And then if we don't like you, we post all of that. We talk about bullying, and yet how many kids are bullied, not just at school, but 24/7 because of Facebook or Instagram or whatever it may be? We have forgotten God. And this is why our country's in the situation it's in. Let's not just blame NRA. Let's not just blame the president, Congress, whoever it may be. We can blame all of us. And the time has come to look to the real answer. And the real answer is Jesus Christ. It's time to turn our hearts back to Him, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, my brothers and sisters, you and I have to remember, like Abraham, we're called to be people of faith. Like Abraham, we may seem like strangers living in a strange land anymore. So be it. But the challenge is for us to be real Christians. The challenge is for your homes to be places where the Lord is truly the Lord of your home. Yes, we're poor sinners, but we have to be mindful each day that God is over us. And we are the good servants who've been given so much, so many blessings in this country. But we're called to live by His truth. We're called to live by His love. That's the challenge for each one of us. But it's a challenge we can meet because we have His Word. We have the Holy Eucharist. We can do it. We can make a change in the society if we really give our lives over to Jesus. And there's the key. So instead of just cursing the darkness, let's be the bright light that shines through. The bright light that leads others to Jesus Christ. May God bless you.